morning, church. It's great to have you in this environment. It's a little bit strange that we haven't got church as we know church to normally be on a Sunday morning. And if you're listening to this, it may not be on a Sunday or a different Sunday. Great to have you here. I'm actually standing in an empty church building, bringing you today's message, and it is rather strange, but then these are rather strange days that we are living in. But look, God has blessed us with many different sources of technology, and so we're going to use whatever technology we can in order to be able to connect you, but not only connect you, but to also encourage you. I want to pray with you. I want to continue our Colossians series. I think it's important for us to, as much as possible, maintain normal rhythms in these very unnormal days. And so we'll continue to have a sermon that I'll bring to you. The other good thing is that if you're accessing this on our church webpage, there should also be instructions on the webpage that you found this, where you can access a PowerPoint. So the delivery that we normally put up on our screen on a Sunday morning, so you'll be able to follow along with me in all of that. So if you can find that on the website, you can download that, read it off the screen, print it or something like that. That will be the various slides that I'll be working through in this particular message today. And also there are the study guides. Now, unfortunately, our growth groups cannot meet because of the environment that we are in, but we're encouraging as many people as households to engage with the study material together so that we can be encouraged, we can pray with. And can I also say, there's no reason why you can't ring up somebody and connect with them and talk and pray with them as well. We're trying to encourage as much as possible to have some support and encouragement in these unprecedented days. Can I pray with you, just as we prepare to look at God's word, as we prepare to have a look at what he's got to say to us. So will you join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just come before you now and recognize our complete dependence upon you in these very strange days indeed. And yet we have the confidence of knowing that even though these are very strange days, you are not surprised by what's going on. This has not taken you off guard. That you are still sovereign, you are still faithful, you still are who you are. Your presence is still right with us, working in and through us. And even though we can't all be physically present in the one building at the one time like we normally do on a Sunday morning, you are still present. This is still your church. We are still your people, even though in different places, in different households, we still belong to you. We are still the people you've called us to be. So as we open up your word, I pray that it will help and encourage us to continue to be the church, to continue to understand who we are and how we relate to one another. So speak to us now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you've been able to access the slides, that should be available there on the website. You can follow along with me and also with your Bibles in your hands. I encourage you to follow along with me. So we are going to continue our Colossians series. And you should be aware that we are now well and truly into chapter 3. And I'm going to read to you chapter 3, verses 18 through to the first verse of chapter 4. So it's Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through to chapter 4, verse 1. If you've got Bibles, follow along with me. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Now, what we're going to look at today is that passage, but I want to frame it in the light of the last few weeks that we have been, as we've been going through the letter of Colossians. Paul writes to the Colossian church. Now, I mentioned this last week when we were gathered together, that the first couple of chapters of Colossians, Paul, as he does in many of his other letters, talks about our identity in Christ, gives us our understanding of who Christ is, who we are in Christ, our position in Christ, all of the fundamental aspects that we need to understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus in his kingdom. And then we go into chapters 3 and 4, as he does in so many of the other letters, where he then puts, if you understand then your position in Christ and who Christ is, this then is how we live. And we talked about that last week. And in a similar way, today, what we're talking about is, therefore, if we understand who we are in Christ, today we're looking at how we relate to one another. And I've titled this sermon, Making Your Relationships Work, how we relate to each other. So what I want to do is I want to make some observations. So you'll find that in your slides that I've given you, some observations. And the first one is this: our faith must come home with us. Our faith must come home with us. It's not just what we do at church, although here it is a pretty sobering thought that literally I would imagine all of you here are listening to this at home. And we are doing church at home. But what we're saying here is that our faith is not just something that's ethereal, not just something that we just work out in our heads. It's what we do as we practice in our households, in our home, in our relationships. One of the problems with the Colossian church was that there were certain leaders that were talking about sort of a select few, a select mystery that only certain people could have, and that was sort of disconnected from normal life. And what Paul is saying here is that our faith is an everyday faith. And it's a faith that interacts in the relationships we have with one another day by day. Second observation I want to make. You'll see this in your slides. The issue is function, not inferiority. In other words, because let's face it, this passage that we're reading today is quite a controversial one, particularly the first verse of that passage. Paul is not talking about who is superior. He's talking about a function within our household. And in many respects, and the danger we have with so many times we read the Bible is we take everything out of context and we just pull this particular passage out and we give Paul a really bad rap. In many respects, looking at verse 18 of chapter 3, wives submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord, we only have to go back to verse 11 and of chapter 3. And Paul's sort of saying there's no difference really between, you know, Gentile, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, men and women. Doesn't really make any difference. We're all the same before Christ. So it's not about who is superior or inferior. He's talking about a function within the church. And that leads me to my next observation, and that observation is here that relationships are to be reciprocal. In other words, any relationship that we have, to be a proper relationship, must go both ways. Husbands and wives, wives and husbands. Parents and children, children and parents. Within our workplace, it's always reciprocal. Now, Paul, to a large extent, is dealing with this issue because in his day, wives and children and slaves were essentially second-class citizens. And so, as Paul is writing this letter to the Colossians, he's talking about something that's radical right across the board. They're not one-way relationships. You can actually have a relationship that's one way, technically then it's not a relationship. So he's saying that for people who were deemed to be second-class citizens, particularly wives, children and slaves, which is the three areas he's talking about in this passage, he's addressed that issue as a reciprocal relationship. And we can see this in the Gospels. Jesus turned this upside down. He called children to himself. Controversially, we read in the Gospels, he invested so much of his ministry in women, which was also incredibly controversial as well. So Jesus, in many respects, turned this upside down. I think what we find most difficult is probably one of the most controversial verses in the whole of the New Testament, if not the Bible, and this is this verse 18, "Wives, submit to your husbands." And we find it very confronting because, to a large extent, we have what we would call equality today. And so we read that on the first instance and it grates with us. And yet in Paul's day, probably the most controversial of the writing in this particular verse here is verse 19. And what we read in verse 19 is this whole thing of, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Because for a lot of people in Paul's day, women were just used as almost objects or property. And Paul is addressing that, which would have been far more controversial than verse 18. So once again, we need to keep this a little bit in context as to what Paul is writing to a particular group of people who had some particular issues and particular behaviours and understandings that he needed to address. Let's keep that one in mind. The next observation I want to make is that not only is our faith must come home with us, the issue is function, not inferiority. Relationships are reciprocal. Families need help today. Families need help. Domestic violence issues are rampant throughout our society. And I was actually reading an article. I mean, there's so many articles that are going on today, isn't there, with the whole COVID-19 situation. But one of the concerns amongst a number of community groups are that now that we're isolating people within their homes, we've got enough of an issue of domestic violence and family pressures. Add into that that we're basically quarantining people within their homes. If you've got a current domestic violence or issue within our homes, how much more would that be compounded now? Children now at home and not being able to go to school in many respects, you know, these things just get compounded and more difficult. And now to add to that, economic and job security issues, it is just getting enormous. Families need help today. This passage, and here it's interesting here, I was contemplating, do I continue to go through the Colossians series? I think God is still speaking to us in this Colossians series, even though we had no idea that we'd be in the situation that we are right now. So what I want to look at today is I want to look at as I've made these observations, is I think Paul is talking about three relationships. And the first one is God's guidelines for marriage. I think he's giving us some guidelines about how we relate, husband and wife, with one another. Now, I've got some notes there. If you've got the slides there and you can see that as you're going along with me. One of the key issues in all of this is this first passage we've talked about, wives, submit to your husbands. Note that nowhere does it say that a wife is to obey her husband. If you have a look at this passage that we're looking at today, it says, children, obey your parents. It says, slaves, obey your earthly masters. But it doesn't say, wives, obey your husbands. It says, submit. Now, we've got to put this into a little bit of context that so often we look at this passage and we think that what it means is that a wife has to obey everything that the husband demands. This leads me to my second point here, is that this has application to wives in a marriage relationship. Because submit is different to obey. It's a different relationship. It's a different way of looking at it. Now, in this case here, Paul is talking to wives, yet the wider application is submitting to one another, submitting to each other. And this leads me to my third point. Both husband and wives are to submit to the Lord and to each other. If we put it into a wider context, let's have a look at another letter that Paul wrote, and that was in Ephesians. Paul wrote to the church of the Ephesian church. And in this context here, he's saying we need to, so this is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. And he encourages husbands and wives to submit to one another as part of us submitting to the Lord. It's a relationship of submitting ourselves to the Lord, but submitting to one another. And really what he's saying here is that that really starts with Christ, to submit under his authority. Now, what does it mean to submit? Now, if you have a look at it, and I've put this on your slide, you'll see this on your slide if you're able to access that. A definition I found is submit is to arrange one's self under a delegated authority. To arrange oneself under a delegated authority. Entrusting oneself to each other. Different to obey. And this is where verse 18 leads directly into verse 19, where as he's talking to his wives, Paul is talking to wives to submit, he straight away goes into verse 9, which says, husbands, love your wives. Now, if we want to look at that word, to love your wives, and there's different, as you would know, different words for love. This particular word is agape love. And this is based on commitment, not emotions or romance. It's a matter of agape loving your wife. Serving. Agape love would serve. An agape love would minister. An agape love would give of themselves to that other party. Husbands, love your wives, and here's the punch. Do not, I shouldn't use that word, do not be harsh with them. Here's the key. As a matter of fact, a definition of husband is one who holds the household together. So it's not about the husband having his way or being superior of, and the wife being inferior. He is the one who has the responsibility to hold the household together. I was reminded of a story of a husband and wife who had some difficulties, and they went and visited a counsellor together. And they're sitting down, husband and wife, in front of the counsellor, just talking to the counsellor. And the wife started to pour out her emotions, the difficulties. She started to cry and express all of her frustration and difficulties. And at the end of her expression of her emotions, the counsellor came over to her, put her arm around her, and just proceeded to encourage her and validate her feelings. And at that point, the counsellor turned to the husband and said, "See, that's how you do it." And the husband says, "Great, we can come in every Tuesday and Thursday. We need to surrender and submit to one another in these relationships. Husbands, don't call your wife honey and treat her like vinegar." Next point I'd like to make is, so that's essentially God's guidelines for marriage. Second point I think Paul brings up in all of this is God's principles for parenting. God's principles for parenting. Let's read this passage again. "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." I think in some ways Paul is tapping into the fifth commandment that was given to the Israelites. You know, honor your parents. And it's the commandment that comes with a blessing. Honor your parents, that it may go well with you. So there is a blessing if you honor your parents. Back in Paul's day, fathers were more like dictators than daddies. And Paul is clearly addressing this particular issue. Ray Steadman, and I've got this in your notes, your slide notes that you should have there with you. He addresses in his particular commentary on this passage four things that can lead a child to discouragement. Four things that can lead a child to discouragement. And what Ray Steadman's doing here is kind of fleshing out what Paul is addressing here in Colossians 3. And these four things he says as follows. He says, we can ignore them. We can ignore our children. And all that really does is just lead to resentment. If we ignore our children, we're not building relationships with them. And ultimately, as we see within our society, that ultimately children will then look for love, look for attention elsewhere. That happens all over the place. Let's not ignore our children. Or it seems to be the opposite, but in many respects it's very similar. We could indulge them. You know the attitude, I'm going to work really hard, I'm going to work two jobs, I'm going to do this and do that so I can provide for my family, so I can buy stuff. We buy things, we provide things for our kids. But our kids, more than anything else, need our presence, our interest, our investment in them. And if all we do is indulge them, it just leads to a restlessness. Nothing will satisfy. We can buy as many things as we like. We can work how many jobs we like. We can earn all sorts of money. But ultimately, it's only going to lead to a restlessness. And then Ray also mentions insulting them. You know, sarcasm. See it happen quite subtly, but at the end of the day, it's an insult to our kids when we put them down around other people. Knocks the stuffing out of them. And then, of course, the last one he talks is intimidate them. You know, stand over them, demand of them. And you can only imagine where that would go. Look, we can see those four. Ignore them, indulge them, insult them, intimidate them. And for many parents who are listening to this particular sermon online and you're stuck at home and the kids are driving you crazy because they're got a bit of cabin fever. How can we bring encouragement to our children rather than discouragement? Now, if you've got the slides with you, Ray Steadman, I've talked about, brings a parent's inventory, and I've actually included this, and I hope that this can be an encouragement to you. You should have it written down there in front of you, but I'll read it out. An inventory. Number one, do I believe that my children are not mine, but rather a gift from God entrusted to me? Secondly, am I partnering with God to enable my children to become the men and women He intends them to be? Three, do they know how delighted and excited I am about them? Do they feel like I'm on their side? Four, am I living under the leadership of Christ in my life so that my children will have a model to follow? Five, am I calling my children to obedience and providing corrective guidance and discipline that is both firm and fair? And fair. Children, love your children. Children, obey your parents. The third relationship in all of this is, and I've titled it, God's Way in the Workplace. Now, some of you will look at this and go, well, this doesn't really relate to us, because from verse 22 onwards, he talks about slaves. And look, Paul had a bad rap in all of this. It looks like he's encouraging slavery. And unfortunately, as we look at this, I want to give some background truths, and you'll see this in your slides. The first one is this: at the time of Paul's writing, almost 50% of the inhabitants of the empire were slaves. 50% of the people living under the Roman Empire were slaves. So this was a very common scenario, and slaves were actually used as pawns in wars. They had no rights. Now, some of you would sort of say, well, and this leads me into point number two. While Paul did not call believers to overturn slavery, these verses helped to bring change from the inside. And some would say, well, in this passage and a few others, why didn't Paul criticize slavery? And my response to this is that wasn't the focus of his passage. The focus of his passage is about relationships, about how ultimately we are a slave to Christ. But it's in how we relate to one another. And these verses can help us on the inside. And we read and can see throughout the scriptures where both masters and slaves would come to Christ together, and that would absolutely change the relationship from being one superior and one inferior to all of us being under Christ. All of us stand on a level footing. And so even though slavery was prevalent in those days, the intent of Paul's passage was not to abolish slavery, but to help us to understand our relationship in Christ and with one another. And so therefore, my third point of all of this you'll see in your slides is that as we read this, there are similar principles within our workplace. And for many of you, you would have employers, bosses, and the like. And this can help us in our understanding of those people whom we're accountable to. I know some of you will go, yeah, well, in my particular workplace, I feel like a slave. We're not talking about this. We're talking about how we can have our best relationships within the workplace. And look, I understand as you're listening to this, your work situation could be very, very different. And at this moment, you could find that you're either out of work or you're finding it very difficult in work. So I understand the tensions there. First, I want to make the point of is, let's read verse 22. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it, not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favour, but also with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. So the first point I want to make is do your best at your job at all times. Not whether your boss is present or not. At all times. Because ultimately it's not about just doing what our boss can see, but doing it because we've been called to this particular work. I was reminded of a story a little while ago of a missionary within a particular people group. And he was having a lot of trouble with his workers, the locals who he had enlisted to do certain jobs. And whenever he went away, they would just sit down and not engage at all. And this particular missionary had a glass eye. And what he would do, he'd put the glass eye, sit the glass eye down on a table and would indicate to them that he's watching them. And he found out for quite a while that this was working. Put the glass eye down and they would continue to work while he's away until he came back one day and someone had stuck a hat over the glass eye. We need to do our best at our jobs at all times. At all times. Secondly, worship at your work. Now, I know some of you go, what do you mean? We need to sing, we need to pray, we need to... What do you mean by worship? It's an act of worship. It is what we do with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. That's an act of worship, is it not? Reverence for the Lord. We see this in verse 22. Too many, I think, are looking for significance and meaning in their job. Instead, we should bring significant and meaning into our jobs. Our identity is not what we do for a living, but it's who we live for. It's an act of worship. Now, here's an interesting aspect for me is that in my particular work, it's changed dramatically from what I would normally do up front, preaching, teaching, highly visible. Suddenly, I'm your pastor and I'm doing most of it from home. It changes a lot of the attitude and the way I do it, and you can get very insecure that people aren't watching you or seeing you, and you can feel like you need to do extra things or different things in order to satisfy or justify what you're doing. But if you see it as an act of worship, it can be quite freeing. Which leads me to my next point, and that is recognize Jesus as your boss. Verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Now, I know I'm employed by Lismore Baptist Church, so you could say that Lismore Baptist Church is my boss. To a certain extent, there's that level, but ultimately Jesus is my boss. Jesus is my master. In every respect, no matter what work you're in, Jesus is your master. So I'd ask you that question. What would you do differently if Jesus was your boss? And like I said, in many respects, he already is. But if we were to change that mindset, Jesus is my master. I need to recognize that. And the last point is this: work for a raise in the next life. Verse 24, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Where is our focus? Is it this life? This payday? This recognition from people today, or is it ultimately into the next life? What is our focus? Where does our attention lay? What I want to do now is I want to just reflect on that, but I also want to pray for you. So no doubt today you're probably sitting at home, sitting with family, you may be on your own, you may be with others. I just want to pray for you now. So if we can just pray at this time. I just want to say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you can give us, through the letter of Paul to the Colossians, you can give us clear encouragement and teaching about how we relate to one another. And I want to pray for our current situation, in all of the uncertainty, the difficulty, for people with health issues, people with anxiety and fear as we look at the news, but also as we spend time inside, probably closer to a lot of people than we normally do, or completely alone. I want to pray, Heavenly Father, in our relationships, that you would clearly guide us about how we relate to one another. For husbands and wives, that instead of us getting cabin fever and actually getting on each other's goat, that you would actually bless these relationships as we spend more time physically with each other. Bless those relationships. Help us to find ways that we can submit to one another. Encourage one another. For children, we pray that you would guide us about how we invest into our children. That we bring hope and encouragement to our children in a world full of fear and anxiety. And for those who are in the workplace, those who are continuing to work in whatever arrangement that is, whether in a physical workplace or working from home or whatever, we thank you for the opportunity to serve you, and we just pray that you would give us a good attitude. And Heavenly Father, I just pray that as we work out this next week, as we seek ways to connect with people, support people, minister to our neighbourhood and our community, that you would lead us. You would be the one who would protect and guide us. You would be the one who, in the midst of uncertainty and difficulty and sickness, that you will continue to be faithful, and we will continue to know your faithfulness. I pray that you would keep us safe. I pray that you would strengthen us. In all of these things, Heavenly Father, we want to rest in you and submit to you. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I hope you are encouraged, church. I encourage you, as an act of worship, just like we would normally finish with a song, find a CD or a DVD or a YouTube clip or something like that and play a worship song. Worship within your household. And as we would normally go out for morning tea and connect and enjoy a good morning tea or whatever, enjoy some fellowship at home, or at the very least, can I encourage you, pick up the phone and talk to someone. Catch up with someone. Find out how they're going. Connect with them. Can I also say, it would be great if you would offer to pray with them and for them. We've got our elders and our growth group leaders mobilized to reach out to everyone, hopefully within our church, to find out how you're going each week. We're hoping that you'll get connected in that way during the week. Pray with your elder, pray with your growth group leader. Encourage them as well. And can I also say, and I mentioned this last Sunday as well, that we've got some hampers here at church. We've got some frozen foods, thanks to Robert and Kay in their isolation, and with all the leftovers from street care, have put together some great sausage casseroles. And Emma Walsh with Baptist Care has got some hampers out in her office there. We've got a number of resources there. And if there's anybody within our church, if it's yourself or you know somebody who's got a particular physical need like that, please contact me as soon as possible. We can get these items out to families. We just don't want anybody in that sort of distress. We're here as the church to serve one another. And even though we're disconnected in this way, we can still do that. God bless you this week. Feel free to send people text messages, contact them, whatever. Let's remain connected. Let's remain encouraged. And let's know that Jesus is still in charge of his church. He's still Lord of our lives. And he is faithful to continue to lead us. And we pray this now. In the name of our Lord and Saviour, amen. God bless you all.